Right, we'll start with Hanukkah and we'll go into the parsha. You know, primarily we'll discuss the parsha. But I remember when I was a kid, whenever I would accomplish something, or whenever I would do something that I thought was really cool or really good, my father used to always have an expression to build self-confidence in me, and he would say, "More luck than brains." Every time that I would do something, he would say, "You know, you're lucky. It's more because you got lucky than because you did anything smart." That was the expression that he would use. Very healthy. So if you take a moment to think about what the Makamim, you know, did and what we're celebrating Hanukkah for, what the celebration is all about, we have to realize that the Hashmonaim were absolutely insane. They were absolutely crazy. When you think of more luck than brains, it seems to be a completely accurate description of the Hashmonaim. They had no army, no training, a bunch of yeshiva bachrim, hunched over yeshiva bachrim, deciding to take on a powerful Greek army, powerful Greek empire. I don't even know if it's mutar lahalacha, if you're allowed to make such a decision, lahalacha, to literally commit suicide, you know, to go ahead and say, yeah, we're going to fight anyway. If they would have asked me, would I have encouraged them to do this? I don't know. I'm not sure if I would have encouraged them to take them on like that. What were they hoping to accomplish? What was their thinking? What was their idea? So I think, based perhaps on an idea in this week's parasha, we can help explain this a little bit. If you look at the story of Yosef and the brothers, you know, I go back to my childhood again. I remember this story. I think I was in fifth or sixth grade. I was reading the English Yalkut Me'am Loes, and I just, like, my parents were calling me down for lunch on Shabbos, and I just didn't want to come because I was so taken in by the story and by the drama and everything. It's just an amazing, amazing story. But you look at how it ends in next week's parasha. Yosef was extremely gracious in dealing with his brothers. After he revealed his identity to his brothers, he reassures them. He says, "Don't be sad. Don't be angry about the fact that you sold me down here. I'm here to keep people alive. This has been a very good thing. As it turned out, it was really very positive. It's been 2 years of famine. It's going to be another 5 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me here because I'm the only one that can keep people alive. It was mamish, you mamish saved lives by having me sold down to Mitzrayim. It was an unbelievable thing. Don't feel bad. He's overly gracious. He doesn't have to be so positive. And yet, when Chazal described the brothers' perspective, their take on things, it's almost the exact opposite. After he's being so gracious and so kind, and he's saying all the right things, Chazal understand, what are they saying to each other? Oy lanu miyom adin, oy lanu miyom atochacha, Chazal say. How difficult it's going to be for us to face the Yom Adin, lachar me'ev esrim shana, to face Tochacha. What's that a reference to? Yosef, ktanim shel shvatim haya. Yosef was the youngest of the shvatim, almost. V'lo yachlu achiv anoso so, and his brothers couldn't say anything to him. Ki nivalu mipanav. They were completely dumbfounded. L'kshe yava HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yachia kolechad v'echad v'kvimasa v'alachas kama v'kama. So can you imagine facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Yom Adin, how dumbfounded we're going to be, how we're just going to sit there in total silence, not be able to say a single word in response to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now the question, of course, is, where was the Musar? Yosef Adar, he stayed so far away from giving them Musar. He didn't say anything to them. He told them, you have nothing to worry about. So what does it mean, the Yom HaTochacha, the Yom HaDin? Where's the Din? Where's the Tocha? And if anything, I would have said the Din and the Tocha comes in this week's Parsha, not when Yosef reveals his identity. When they realize, in this week's parasha, when this Egyptian viceroy demands their youngest brother, so that's when they really experience din. Vayomru ishalachiv aval hashemim anachnu. They turn to each other and they say, "We were guilty over here. Ashari'inu tzaras nafsho bizchanu elenu. We saw our younger brother in pain, in anguish, and he's crying out to us. Velo shamanu, and we didn't do anything. We didn't respond. Al kein bo elenu atzarazos." That's where the tocha is, right there. They say, yeah, that's when we realized why we're suffering. We're suffering because we saw our brother crying and we didn't do anything. Where's the additional tochacha with Yosef revealing his identity? What's the additional level of tochacha? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz has a yesod in Sichos Musar. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz points out that the ultimate tochacha is not necessarily knowing that you did something wrong. Because you know what? We're all human beings, and human beings make mistakes. We do things that are wrong from time to time. Sometimes even more than from time to time. We do things that are wrong wrong, and we know that's part of the nature of humanity. We're not always going to be perfect. We're imperfect beings. That's not the ultimate tochacha. The ultimate tochacha, the most difficult thing to face in the Olam HaEmes, is when we realize that the goals that we were trying to accomplish were misguided goals. Now, look, if we have goals in the right places and we try to accomplish the right things, I want to be a Talmud Chacham, I want to be a Baal Chesed, I want to be a contributing member to society, and look, along the way I might make mistakes, okay, that's not the worst tochacha in the world. Of course you're going to make some mistakes along the way. But when we set goals and then we realize that the goals that we set for ourselves were completely off, that the very ideals that we were striving for were wrong, that's the ultimate tochacha. That's going to be the most painful and most difficult thing to face. And that's what the Chumash means when it describes Yitzchak's discovery that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the brachos that Yitzchak had intended for Esav to go to Yaakov. Vayechrad Yitzchak charada gedola ad ma'od. He trembles. That terminology is not common for the Chumash to use terminology like that. Gedola ad ma'od. Gedola is not enough. Has some gedola ad ma'od. Yitzchak has this he's seized by this terror, by this fear, by this, he's overcome by this incredible terror. Why? Because he knew, not that he had made a mistake, but he knew that his whole life's vision of how things were going to play out, of how he was planning on Esav would fill this role and Yaakov would fill that role, and exactly how his family was going to head in the future, where they were going to be, what was going to be of everyone, that was all mistaken. It was all a mistake. And his whole derech and chinuch of his children, his goals, it was all wrong. That's the charada gedola. The brothers faced the tochacha, even though Yosef said nothing at all to them, because they realized, not just that they had done something wrong, but they realized that their entire derech, their entire goal was misguided. See, previously, they thought he was a dreamer and he needed to be stopped. It was a psak halacha. We're doing the right thing. We're going to make sure that these dreams that are usher to have, they've paskened on these dreams, that it's usher for him to chase these dreams. And we paskened, you need to put a stop to it. And everything they did was aimed to making sure that those dreams never come true. And now they realize that everything they had done throughout the entire process was wrong, was toward the fulfillment, was meant to was geared to by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulling the strings was making sure that those dreams actually get fulfilled. Their entire goal was completely the opposite of the goal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's terrifying. That's the Yom HaDin, that's the Yom HaTochacha. Very often you have a certain goal in mind and you view the goal as being a very noble goal, and you therefore rationalize everything along the way, everything that takes to accomplish that goal. The brothers are well aware that it's not right to have somebody crying for you, terrified at the bottom of a pit, and to completely ignore it. They know that it's wrong. They know that that's not how a Jew acts, that a Jew is a rachaman, and that they should feel a sense of mercy. But they rationalized it because they had this more important goal. They had this very noble idea in their heads that they needed to stop the dream. So everything they did along the way was a rationalization for the sake of that goal. And now they realize that the goal is wrong. Now they realize that everything they were trying to accomplish was wrong. And that frightens them. Because then all the rationalizations fall by the wayside also. Everything they had done to achieve this goal of putting a stop to Yosef, putting a stop to his dreams, it was all wrong, it was all a mistake. Now, the mistake that the brothers made is that they thought, once they had their goal, that they could determine their own destiny. They thought that they can control what's going to happen in the end. They can control. The reality is, human beings can only control what we do in the present. We cannot control what is going to come of our decisions, what is going to come of our actions. Kadosh Baruch Hu decides whether we're matzliach or we're not matzliach. We get into trouble when we start thinking that we're in control. Chazal emphasized, Yagata umatsasa ta'amin. If a person says, I strived, I tried to do things, umatsasa, and then it just happened. I found something, it was a metzia, that you can believe. We have to realize that even when we put efforts into things, it's still up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to decide whether he's going to give us the metzia or not. It's still up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to decide whether we're actually going to find anything. Anu amelim umakabim schar. We get schar for our amelus. We don't get schar for the goals being accomplished because HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines whether the goals are accomplished. We just have to take each moment and determine whether we're doing the right thing or not. The Rosh Maseches Nedarim, Daf Lamed Ches, where the Gemara says that a person has to be a gibor to be a Navi, comments that Moshe Rabbeinu was an incredible gibor. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu an incredible gibor? Because he lifted up all of the boards of the Mishkan. And the Marsha asks that it's enough in a medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't really lift up the boards of the Mishkan. HaKadosh, Moshe Rabbeinu started to act as if he was lifting them up, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted them up for him. So Chaim Shmulevitz explains that the Gevura is not physical strength. It's not the physical strength of lifting up the boards. It's the ability and the willingness to channel all of our energy toward doing the right thing, toward doing the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, will it result in anything? He might be standing there for an hour trying to lift up a board and nothing's going to happen. Well, that's up to the Ribbono Shel Olam to determine. Or the Ribbono Shel Olam might help it happen for him. That's the Ribbono Shel Olam's decision. My decision is to put all of my energy, all of my kochos into doing the right thing. The very definition of a gibor in Pirkei Avos is a gibor hakovish es yitzro. It's to determine that you want to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. Gemara in Sukkah tells us, Ilmode HaKadosh Baruch Hu ozro, lo yachalo. Look, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to help you be kovish yitzer, you're not going to be able to anyway. But you try. You try your best. And that's what a gibor is. Gevura is making that effort. Medrash says that Aaron HaKohen was very strong because he did tenufa, he waved 22,000 levium in a single day. Now, I'll tell you something. If you can wave 22,000 adult human beings all around, you know, in all four directions on a single day, that's not gevura. That's miraculous. That has nothing to do with strength. That's a miracle. It's not strength, right? A well-conditioned athlete is winded after a 48-minute basketball game. Aaron HaKohen spending all day long, an average of one adult human being every 2 seconds, mala mevi, molech mevi, mala morid. It's impossible. The gevura is not that he accomplished it. The gevura is that he tried to do it. The gevura is that he put his mind to trying it. The fact that he accomplished it, that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Medrash tells us that niskabtsu kolosim neviyei habal, dalet meos v'chamishim, neviyei ha'asherah dalet meos, 450 Nevi'ei Abal, 400 Nevi'ei Asherah, kulam lo yachlu lahaziz raglo min ha'aretz, that they couldn't move this single cow. Heshev ha'par va'omer le'Eliyahu, the cow says to Eliyahu Anavi, le'enei kala'am, ani v'chaveira yatsonu mi'beten echad, I and my friends all came from a normal birth. V'hu ala l'chalko shal kadosh baruch hu, shmo shal kadosh baruch hu miskadei shalav, it's not fair. Why should I have to be used for an avodah zarah karban when my brother gets to be used for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Amar le'Eliyahu lechi mahem. So Eliyahu says to him, go with them. K'shem sheshmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu miskadesh al yado, kach miskadesh al yadcha. Just like the shame of Hashem is going to be miskadesh al yaday, the cow that's actually brought, the bull that's actually brought for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for a carbon for Hashem, so too Hashem's name is going to be miskadesh al yadcha. And Rabbi Shlomo Salanter points out that if you think about it, it's an unbelievable story. 850 people are trying to move a bull, a single animal. 850 people are way stronger than a single animal. And yet they couldn't budge it. Why couldn't they budge it? Because sometimes, as Shaul Salanter points out, when we do something, our abilities to accomplish what we do are clearly from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Our abilities to accomplish don't come from ourselves. Our gevura lies in our willingness to try, in our willingness to do the right thing. So we go back to the beginning. The Chashmonaim could not win the war, and one jug of oil cannot light for 8 days. Those things don't happen. That's not natural. It's not normal. Why do we even bother trying? Because we know that that's our avoda. Our avoda is to stand up for the Torah and for the Torah way of life. We don't decide whether we're going to be successful or not. The Ribbono Shel Olam decides whether we're going to be successful. But we have to make the machah. If there's an assault on the Torah way of life, our job is to make a machah and say that we're not going to allow that assault to be successful. We decide what to do with ourselves each and every day. We decide to sit down and learn a Seder and try to finish Shas, try to become Talmidei Chacham. Will we be successful? The Ribbono Shel Olam will decide if we're going to be successful. Our attempt is our avoda. What we have to do is just give it a shot. The celebration of Chanukah is about gevura. It's about the courage and the strength to not worry about what our actions are going to accomplish. The Achei Yosef determined that they had a goal and that they had to accomplish that goal. That's not the way we have to be Oved Hashem. It's not about determining what that we have to accomplish certain goals. It's determining in this moment what's the right thing to do. And life is a string of moments where each moment we have to determine what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from me now. And to start cutting corners because I have a bigger goal is not acceptable. The Ribbono Shel Olam will worry about the bigger goals. We worry about our avoda. We worry about what does the Ribbono Shel Olam want me to do right now. What makes me a better Eved Hashem right now? And by choosing to be an Eved Hashem in each and every moment, our life ultimately will be a string of such moments. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will determine that we'll be able to fulfill whatever goals He deems are really the correct goals. And the Yom HaDin, the Yom HaTochcha, we may make mistakes in the moments, but the bigger mistakes, the one that really hurt us, won't come back to haunt us if we don't allow it to take over our lives while we're here and while we're trying to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam.